This is Ira on Sports, and we are so fortunate to have Anne Liguori, famous golf announcer. She's has a sports interview cable series on Def AN for years, which I've listened to, and on Golf Channel. She just came out with a book called Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdom from Legends of Golf, with her interviews with all these great golf men and women in terms of golfers. Anne, thanks a lot for coming on Ira on Sports.
Oh, pleasure. Great to be with you.
So you've just spent 10 days at Augusta. How do you feel after spending 10 days at the most magical golf tournament?
Oh, just exhilarating, really. I'm a little tired. My days start really early and go pretty late, but there's nothing like covering the Masters. This was my 26th Masters, and before I really got into golf, I covered a variety of sports. So I was at Wimbledon. You know, I still cover the U.S. Open Tennis Championship every year. World Series, Super Bowls, NBA Finals, World Cups, you name it, I've covered it. But there's nothing like the Masters. They just run the tournament beautifully. The course is perfection. They're very classy in everything that they do. It's just a real treat to be here every year.
And I think that this year for golf, in terms of the split between LIV and the PGA, it adds extra special, the interest was great to see all the golfers then for the first time together, all the stars playing against each other.
Yeah, I mean, last year we saw, you know, some of the LIV players here as well. This year they're all here and everybody wants to know, well, do they get along? And yeah, I mean, everybody's here to win a Masters title. We did hear Jon Rahm just talk a little bit about the frustration that he's a LIV player now, and you know he went and took a ton of money. Obviously, he jumped from the PGA Tour to LIV, but he did say he's frustrated because he can't play in a lot of the PGA Tour events that he won, and he misses that, and he misses playing with the best players in the world more often. So I think a lot of the guys who left do have some regrets, although not their bank accounts, for sure.
Well, in your book, I just loved reading this book because you're, of course, one of the greatest interviewers in the world. And you wrote in these interviews, I mean, it's the whole book in terms of covering a dozen golfers. I think it's about a dozen that you interviewed and talked to. And I just thought that was really cool how you were able to glean some, you know, exactly, you know, what they feel their strengths were, their weaknesses are. Everybody from Nicholas Watson, player, and many women golfers like Jan Stevenson. So it was pretty cool that you were able to get these interviews with all these top golfers.
Well, when Heavenly Press, the publisher, asked me to do a golf book, because I've interviewed all kinds of legends in all sports. You know, for years I did a cable show where I was in my 20s and 30s and interviewed people like Mickey Mantle and Ted Williams and Hank Aaron and Jim Brown and Billie Jean King and all those personalities. But they wanted a golf book, and I said, absolutely, because I've been covering golf for so many years now. And I wanted to go after 12 legends, six men, six women, who were role models, who had a lot of wisdom to share, who could look back on their lives and their careers and really articulate what they bring from golf, what they learn from their iconic golf careers, what they take from golf to life. So it's really more a book about wisdom. And everybody can really be inspired by the messages. The themes are universal. Whether you're a golfer or not, I think you'll really enjoy reading because you'll learn more about these incredible legends of golf, but they also have messages that resonate with everybody. And, you know, a lot of things that we can really take to heart. You know, Gary Player talks about pursue your passion. No matter how old you are, you can always continue to pursue your passion. It keeps you young, and he's 88 years young. He plays golf every day to this day. He works out every day. He eats well. There's just so much wisdom in that one chapter from Gary Player. I just adore him. He's an international treasure. Nancy Lopez, her theme is stay positive. In golf, it's so easy to get frustrated and to get angry. It's a very, very tough sport, but you have to stay positive, just like in life. It's so hard, you know, a deal could go sour in business or you just have a bad day, but you just have to think of the positive and So their messages really resonate with everyone.
It was interesting about your chapter on Gary Player. He said he felt that he's played more golf courses than anyone else in the history of the world, which I thought was pretty great. And we had him just here in Palm Beach. He was giving a speech down here, and it was just he was full of energy, full of enthusiasm, and certainly your chapter on him brought that all out.
He is just a treasure. He really is, and he's won more tournaments internationally than anybody in the history of golf. He traveled the world. He's from South Africa. He lives in Florida now, but he continues at his age, 88, he continues to travel all over. And yeah, he's somebody that I could just listen to all day long. He has so many great stories and really great advice for everybody.
Your chapter on Jan Stevenson, and I, as I said, it was a little before my time. I didn't really know that much about Jan, but you concluded by saying this should be a movie. And you're right. She grew up in Australia. She was a surfer. And then she comes to America, and your story about when she came here and she just had to win or she was going to have to go home. So she had to literally was paycheck to paycheck or she was going to go to Australia. And even when she was 9 years old and how she made money by getting golf balls and selling golf balls. So that's how her father realized she loved to play golf. But what a great, and how she was really just the proponent of the LPGA Tour. And did everything, sponsors, won Johnny Carson show, everything to build women's golf.
Right. I mean, she came over to this country as a rookie, blonde hair, blue-eyed, beautiful Australian girl. And the LPGA used her as the sex symbol of the tour. And she, wanted to help the tour at that time. It was definitely struggling. And yet, by trying to help the tour, she made a lot of enemies. A lot of her colleagues were not happy that she was doing this. They were either jealous or they just didn't think, sex appeal should be used to sell the LPGA Tour. So, and she also said, hey, if I would have spent more time practicing and training, I could have won even more titles, because she felt like she did so much promotion to help save the LPGA Tour. But all these years later, she finally got into the Hall of Fame. She didn't even think she'd get into the Hall after all of that work, but she did get into, she got voted into the Hall of Fame in 2019. And she did tell me that she has a script that one of the big Hollywood studios has bought. And now the challenge is making it true to her story. Sometimes Hollywood takes licenses with these scripts. And she said Margot Robbie wants to play her.
Oh my gosh, that'd be amazing.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Yes.
And they had a meeting recently, and Margot said she wanted to change the script a little bit and make it a little more provocative, and Jan was not happy. She did not want to, look like she was kissing guys in the parking lot before going to play a tournament. So stay tuned. We'll see how that comes out.
Well, her poster, you mentioned in the book that her poster for TaylorMade was the second most popular poster besides the Farrah Fawcett poster of all time. So that was, to think that's the golf poster that would be the second most popular of all time. But
right.
You mentioned in the book, both Jan and Annika Sorenstam talked about how Jack Nicklaus, now we're, transitioning to a little Jack Nicklaus here, but the fact that how Jack Nicklaus was so integral in terms of giving them confidence, talking to them, and such a resource for their growth in the game. And it's great to hear. I mean, Jack Nicklaus, in terms of, you see him with some of these other golfers now, but even in the LPGA players, in his work with the women's golfers.
Oh yeah, Jack is always very available. I saw him here this week at Augusta National, and honorary starter. He and Gary Player and Tom Watson, they're just so generous with their time and with their advice and wisdom. Barbara Nicklaus is a gem. I call Jack and Barbara the first couple of golf. They live in your area, as you know. I adore them. I saw Barbara. She caddied. She had on her white caddy uniform for Jack when he hit the honorary tee shot to start the Masters on Thursday. They are a just incredible couple, and they're just so generous with their time, with their charity, and with their advice and helping others. It's just remarkable to know them.
And you mentioned off the air that your book is on their kitchen table. They're reading it too. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Barbara, when I saw her at the Cognizant Classic, I gave a talk to 250 women the Monday of the Cognizant Classic, and Barbara was at my table. I was so honored to be sitting, at the same table as Barbara Nicklaus. And she told me that I had just sent out the book to all the legends in the book, and she said Jack loved his chapter and and it's sitting on their kitchen counter. And so this week when I saw her at the Masters, I said, is the book still on your counter? And she goes, absolutely.
Your tidbits in this book were just amazing. Like, they're like throwaway little things that I thought was so interesting. You had a story about Watson, Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus going for dinner, and Watson saying, are we going to go to this place? And Jack said, I couldn't get in. And like, you're thinking, what restaurant would turn down Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson to sit to have dinner? And he's like, well, did you tell him who you were? He goes, no, I never tell people who I am to try to get a reservation. Which, and they said, and Watson goes, that shows a lot about who Nicklaus is. He understands who he is and understands, and sort of, he doesn't think he's any more special than anyone else.
It's a great story, and you're right. It shows how humble Jack Nicklaus is, and he doesn't want to throw his name around to try to get a reservation or try to get a table somewhere. And yeah, that's the way they are. You know, he's so charitable, and you know, his chapter is all about putting family first and integrity and sportsmanship. And Jack used to, when he was playing in the height of his career, he'd be playing a third round at a tournament somewhere, and he'd fly home that night to Florida to attend his son's baseball game or football game, and then he'd fly back to the tournament to play the final round on Sunday, and he'd often win those tournaments. So he said, chasing a ball around and making four-foot putts gave me this great lifestyle, but it wasn't as important as my family. He's always put family first. And you know, he has 5 children, 24 grandchildren, a couple great grandchildren. And boy, his family reunions must be really fun.
I was amazed that none of his grandchildren play golf, though. That's what I was shocked by, that in terms of all those grandchildren, not one of them has really taken it up passionately in terms of it. He seemed to feel, it was a little, in your book, a little regrets that none of his grandchildren have really embraced golf that much.
Yeah, I think there's, you know, obviously a lot of pressure, a lot of expectation if you're named Nicklaus, right? But I think one of his granddaughters, you know, plays a little bit, but they have a lot of different interests, and they didn't want to push golf on the kids. I think it's important. Parents, you know, I know a lot of parents who are pro golfers say that they, obviously their kids have every opportunity in the world to learn and learn from the best. But you can't push a kid into any one sport. They have to really have that hunger and that passion to pursue it on their own, or they won't be successful no matter how great their parents, you know, are or were in the sport. So I guess, yeah, it's a little disappointing, right, when you don't have a grandkid who pursues the sport. But a lot of them have tried, and they get just so far. I mean, it's just extraordinary to have a career like Jack Nicklaus, obviously, 18 major titles, and considered the greatest golfer of all time. People will, you know, the argument who's better, Tiger or Jack, you know, long-term. Obviously, Jack has more major titles than Tiger, and obviously Tiger's gotten injured in his, for years now, Tiger's been struggling physically based on, you know, surgeries and the car accident, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll never know how many Tiger could have won. When Tiger won the Masters in 2019, that was just extraordinary. That was a comeback victory. But, yeah, a lot of these players are parents, and, you know, obviously Tiger's son plays, Charlie. But the expectation on Charlie is just over the top. So you wonder if any of these kids could ever have a normal childhood being, you know, a kid of a golf great, and if they could ever meet the expectation of being a great golfer like their parents or fathers were. So it comes with its challenges for sure. Annika, who's in the book, Annika Sorenstam, her son, Will, is a very good player. In fact, they play in the PNC Championship in Orlando in December, and he's developing really well. You really have to have that natural hunger for it. You can't, you know, parents know they can't push their kids, so. But it's great to see Jack and Barbara and how close their family. They're just such wonderful people. And I'm just so grateful that they all really wanted to be in the book. Ben Crenshaw, who I saw under the big oak tree in front of the Augusta National Clubhouse a couple of days ago, he said, Ann, I am honored you included me among the 12 legends in this book. He thanked me for including him. Isn't that just unbelievable?
That was cool. That's cool. And then Tom Watson, I mean, I thought it was cool that you talked about Watson and Nicklaus, and I think there was a scene, they were in the 17th hole of a major, and Watson turned to Nicklaus and said, isn't this like the greatest thing? Nicklaus goes, yes, I love it. And here they're battling it, and they're actually talking, saying, and realizing the moment, how cool that moment was and how great that moment was. But Watson did talk in his book about how the competition with Jack and how they were friends. Like they weren't like, oh, they're going to hang out together all the time. They talked about that dinner thing. But the fact that they did have this respect for each other, which I thought was important.
Absolutely. I mean, Tom Watson, his chapter is learning from the best and staying humble. And when he was younger, he learned from not only Byron Nelson and Arnold Palmer, but he learned from Jack Nicklaus. And then they became rivals on the golf course, but they were still friends. And, you know, I asked that question just this past week here at Augusta National after they hit the honorary tee shot. I said, you know, what's the camaraderie like now with these players compared to when you and Jack were not only friends but rivals? And it's not quite the same, right? and it's just amazing that they could compete against each other and beat each other so many times and still be such great friends till this day.
We've had Patty Harrington on our show twice. He's been a great guest for us. But you ask him some good questions, and I loved how he said, he goes, he played better as an underdog. He played better when he was in fear. And I thought that was interesting. He said, when I was in a lead, I didn't like it. I wanted to be behind, and I wanted to feel like I was going to lose. That's when I played my best golf.
You know, that was really surprising to me to hear him say that he, to this day, still has fear when he goes to play golf. Not just nerves, but fear. You know, is his game going to show up? Is he going to shank one off the first tee? I mean, a lot of amateurs can relate to that, but this is a three-time major champion, Padraig Harrington, who says we have to embrace fear. Very important messages from a legend. He'll be inducted into the Hall of Fame this summer as well. And just really, I was so happy to hear everything that he said. I just thought some of his messages were important. You mentioned, you know, his strategy to winning a tournament. He does not like to be in the lead going into the final round. He said that's not good for him. He says he'd rather be behind, or if he is in the lead, he has to kind of use reverse psychology and pretend like he's behind. I just thought it was fascinating material.
And he said also, he goes, when I was in the final groups, he goes, I'm rooting for my partner because I want my partner, if they're in the final group, to be advanced, you know, ahead of the entire field, and then have just then us compete at the end. It was weird how he said, I'm actually rooting for my partner to do well. So it was pretty interesting from someone like Norm
right.
Harrington.
That pushes him to play better, just like fear, he told me, makes the adrenaline go in him and just it makes him play better. He's a very interesting study. And again, for a current day player, he still competes on the PGA Tour. He wins on the PGA Champions Tour. For him to give me so much time and to be so honest and make so many revealing comments in that chapter, I just think it's incredible. That chapter is just so compelling.
You know, I just liked how the fact that you interviewed all these legends, these 12 legends in the book, and how opening they were to you. You know, I do think that today's golfers, I mean, they're so controlled. There's so much, oh, that's my social media. They're controlled by the Golf Channel, the PGA Tour. I think they need to get out there more. I mean, when Austin Eckrode won the Cognizant, you know, no one knows who he is. I'm like, let's, you know, go on 20 minutes to an interview. It's like, no, the interviews are all done. We're all done with the interviews. And I'm like, no one knows who Austin Eckrode is. Like, let him show. I mean, he's an interesting guy. He's a fun guy. Like, let people hear them. And I just think that I think these younger golfers are doing a disservice to themselves and the fans and the game of golf by not being as accessible as some of these past greats have been. And
you know, that is such a good point, Ira. I can't agree with you more. I played at the BMW Charity Pro-Am, which is a Korn Ferry event. I was one of the celebrities, and I'm going back this year. And I've been playing it a couple years now, and the first time I played in it, Austin Eckrode was my pro, and he was his first pro tournament on the Korn Ferry Tour. And he's the nicest guy. He's kind of quiet, but very classy, amazing golfer, the way he hits the ball. He had two eagles in his first round there when I was playing with him. I couldn't believe it. But you're right, people don't really know these players. I think the agents say no way too often. I honestly do not book guests for my show. I do a radio show called Talking Golf on WFAN, the number one sports station in New York, every Sunday morning from 8 to 9. And, you know, I've had all kinds of TV shows. I was the first woman to host a primetime show on the Golf Channel. And I booked my own guests, Sylvester Stallone, Celine Dion, Samuel L. Jackson. And I had people, obviously, who knew them help me get these personalities, Joe Pesci and Kevin Costner. I mean, I got an A-list of guests for that show, and I continue to get an A-list of guests for my radio shows. But I very rarely go through sports agents. Their job seems to be to say no, and they just don't want to get too involved. I mean, they're doing a lot of, obviously, these people are getting a lot of requests, but it's just too bad, as you say, that we couldn't learn more about Austin after that tournament. Now, I have his home number. I can call him, and hopefully he'd say yes. But I agree. I think they really need to, you know, promote some, especially some of these younger players now who are going to one day emerge as the stars of the PGA Tour.
Yeah, I mean, we were just at there. It's like, you know, they said, well, Austin's a little too tired. I don't want to be pounding on Austin, but it's like he can't do it. He just played, you know, won the tournament on Monday when he won the tournament on Monday at the Cognizant. And I'm thinking, well, 2 weeks later, we go to the UFC 299 and Sean O'Malley, who was just destroyed, but won the match, but comes in wheeled in a wheelchair, bloodied all over. And he gives a half an hour press conference and then does private press conferences afterwards. And I'm thinking, boy, if Sean O'Malley could do that, and with intelligent comments about the fights and everything, I just like, let these athletes, let these golfers, we have to learn more about them. Don't just keep protecting them. They're smart, they're intelligent. Let people learn about them.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we need to learn more about some of these newer names, because a lot of them are winning. And when you look at some of the names, you know, who won the PGA Tour tournaments the first couple months of this year, they're not star names. Aside from, you know, Scottie Scheffler, and you know, the most of these names aren't that well known to the even the golf public, you know, let alone general public. So yeah, I agree with you. I think they should do more to let these guys tell their stories, and they all have great stories. The men and women, everybody who does well in this sport has to be overcome so many obstacles. It's such a hard sport, and they all have great stories. It doesn't matter who wins. Everybody has, I think, a magical story.
And I think the overwhelming theme from your book, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdoms from Legends of Golf, that we're talking to Anne Liguori, is just the passion and love that everyone you had in here has for golf. Like, they just love it. They love it so much. They love playing it. They want other people to play it. And I think that's so cool. I mean, it's not just like they do this to make money. They just love the sport so much, and they love playing it, and they want everyone else to play it, which I think is cool, whether you're Jack Nicklaus or anybody else.
Right. I mean, it's such a hard sport to do. And, you know, amateurs can get discouraged very quickly, but you learn so much from golf, and it's such a great mental game as well. And you're out on the most gorgeous piece of property with nature. There's just so many wonderful positives about the game, and they're also passionate about it. Obviously, they all made a living playing golf, but even if you're just okay at it, it's just such a great day of therapy. You're just outside, just taking it all in. It's just, you're walking in beautiful, you know, hearing the birds chirp, and the courses are gorgeous. And I just think it's just so relaxing and just such a beautiful sport. I'm just blessed that they all gave me the amount of time that they gave me to get to know their stories more than, you know, your typical press conference after or before a tournament. They all gave me a lot of time, and they all were so willing to share their stories. I mean, you look at Bernhard Langer. I didn't know too much about Bernhard Langer, only that he was just this machine, you know, and that he was winning well into his 60s. He's the winningest guy now on the PGA Champions Tour. But when you hear about his story as a young person, how poor his family was, and he wasn't even supposed to be here, right? When you read that chapter, the doctor told the mother not to have the baby. And so you wonder why, all these years later, he's still hungry to not only win, which he does, but to continue to train, continue to put the work in, continue to put the practice in. You know, there's so much that goes into being a champion. You know, you see these guys out here winning trophies, but there's so much time and effort that goes into it. And this guy's 66 years old, right? And then when you read the chapter on him in Life on the Green, you can understand why perhaps he still has that hunger. Literally, he was hungry as a kid. And it goes a lot into his whole story, his whole childhood. And you're like, this is why he's so great. This is what makes him a champion. Because he's still hungry to excel and to continue to pursue his passion, even well into his 60s.
So, and how Gary...
You learn a lot about these guys.
You know, it's a weird sport in that you're not going to interview football players that are still playing football when they're 50s and 60s, and where these golfers like Gary Player, who's 88, is still out there playing golf almost every single day. So that's a little different. And when Langer is playing at such a high level, so that's the unique nature of golf, I think.
That's true. It's a lifetime sport. I kind of wish I would have played when I was a kid. I did every other sport. Of course, I love tennis too, but I always advise parents who have young children. I said, get them to learn tennis and golf, because you can play those sports well into your old age. And also, golf is just such a great vehicle for business. You meet so many influential people, and it's a lifelong sport. And look, my whole life now is dedicated to the sport. Not only playing. I don't play as much as people might think. We're working a lot being in the media, but everything I do, my travel is really focused on going to beautiful golf courses and links courses in Ireland. And I'm going to England and Scotland and all over the world. I'm going to Carn, a beautiful golf course on the west coast of Ireland. It's in this most remote section of Ireland, but they're flying me out in May to do a speech and to do a book signing at their International Members Week. And I just love golf in Ireland. But, it's become my whole lifestyle now, golf. Not just talking about the majors and covering these tournaments, but also playing golf and traveling. And just when you think you've seen the most beautiful golf course in Ireland, 10 minutes down the road, you play another links course that's spectacular. So it is a great sport. The people are so generous. It's a beautiful sport. It requires a lot of physical and mental preparation. And to me, there's nothing that compares to golf.
One last thing before we let you go. Just two comments on Scottie Scheffler, second Masters championship, and also on how you felt like from the TV perspective. I watched every single, thanks to ESPN Plus, I watched every single of Tiger's shots during the whole round, and the first 2 days he played great. I thought he moved, after someone who's watched Tiger play all the time, I thought he was moving better than I've seen him in years. So just your opinions on Tiger and Scottie Scheffler.
Well, on a Sunday when Tiger was out there, I walked out and watched him play 10, 11, and 12. And, there's just nobody that moves the needle like Tiger Woods. There were so many people trying to get a peek of him hitting a shot. And I just stood right on the 12th tee, the iconic par 3 12th hole, and saw him play the 11th and then come and tee off on the 12th. He got a standing ovation. I just, he just moves the needle in golf. And I covered him when he was younger. He wasn't that nice. He wasn't that accessible. But to see his transformation now as a person is just remarkable to me. Now he can't be more accessible, it seems. I mean, he doesn't do a lot of interviews. He's contracted to one magazine to do interviews, but he's just nice. He spends time with young golfers and advises them. He played with Neil Shipley yesterday, the only amateur to make the cut at the Masters, and Neil Shipley could not say enough nice things about playing with Tiger. They talked a lot while they were playing, and they were nowhere in contention, so they could kind of do their thing on the course and talk more. But he made his 24th consecutive cut, which is remarkable given that he can hardly walk. His body is so beat up from all the surgeries and all that near fatal car accident he had a couple years ago. But just the fact that he played four rounds is great. He came in dead last, 60th place, but he made it sound like he wants to play all the majors this year. So I think he realizes that at 48 years of age and with how he's struggling physically, I think he wants to try to play at least the major championships if he can. And it'll be interesting to see how many more Masters he'll try to play. I know he can't. I'm sure he's just mortified with his score. That's not Tiger Woods, right? But at least he made the cut. And I think now he has a whole different perspective. He's just happy to be out there. Honestly, he's just happy to be alive. And we see that with him. His son, Charlie, was out there the other day on the range with him. And his family can have, you know, some joyous moments just watching him do his thing and see the adoring fans. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting to see the transformation of Tiger Woods all these years, because I've covered every major title that he's won, and he's won 15 of them. Scottie Scheffler, can't say enough great things about Scottie Scheffler. He is an incredible human being, and he's just an incredible golfer. He's above all the other players in almost every statistical category, and he's just a wonderful, wonderful, as great of a golfer as he is, he's just an incredible human being, and his faith is really important to him. He says his priorities will change. His wife, Meredith, is due to have a baby any day now, and so he's going to become a father for the first time. But I think he will be somebody that can only get better and just stronger on that golf course. He's just incredible. So it'll be interesting to see how many majors Scottie Scheffler will win, because I think he's only just starting, believe it or not.
Well, Ann, thanks so much and for coming on I Run Sports, Life on the Green, Lessons and Wisdoms from Legends of Golf, to interviews with 12 legends of the game. And best of luck. You can get this book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, everything. I just read it this weekend. Tremendous book. And best of luck on the book.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the interview. And thanks for doing your research and for reading the book. And look forward to coming on with you again. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you.